The first level that we need to know is about 3 degrees of most knowledge, all encompassing perfect knowledge. He knew whatever happens, and has always known it. Secondly, that Allah wrote that down. Whatever happens is something that Allah wrote it down in the preserved tablet. Thirdly, that whatever happens is something that Allah wished and willed to occur. Nothing can happen that is not within what Allah wished to occur. And fourthly, the matter is being mentioned here, Allah created it. Whatever it is, Allah created that thing. So indeed, all action, all things are that are in existence are created by Allah. And all actions are also created by Allah. So Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that this contains a refutation of those who say that a person creates his own actions. So this is incorrect. Rather, Allah creates everything and Allah creates all actions. And then the servant chooses, by his own choice, his action. And he earns it, commits it by his own his free will, and does the action, whether good or bad. As for creation, Allah is the creator of everything. There is no second creator. So nothing exists except that Allah created it. And no one else besides him can create anything. Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that people can create the outer form. They can create an image. Draw something, draw the outer image of something, draw the outer form. But they can never create the living thing. They can never put life into it. Then came the issue that over the janazah prayer, funeral prayer, 4 takbirs are said. So Sheikh Fawzan mentioned this is a matter of fiqh, just been included here because of those who disagree about this matter. It's an important matter, it's a matter which some people disagreed about. So to establish that point and to clarify this point, which is from the sunnah, that 4 takbirs are said over the funeral prayer. And as for, no doubt, there are hadith which mention an addition, 5 takbirs or more. And no doubt there are authentic hadith there. Sheikh Fawzan mentioned the approach of the student of knowledge should be to make the people aware of that which is agreed upon. 4 takbirs, that which is agreed upon, and that which there's no disagreement about, and the like. And finally, a small point with regard to, along with every raindrop, that there is an angel who descends with that raindrop and places it wherever Allah, the Most High, wishes it, the angel to. Then, with regard to that point, Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that in general, that there is no doubt whatsoever that Allah is the one who sends down the rain in a pre-decreed measure, an exact measure, to the exact places where He has decreed that it should fall. There's no doubt with regard to that. As for the issue of whether there's an actual angel with each raindrop or not, then Allah will have. And as for the continuation, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continues what occurs here on page 328, this explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan, rahimahullah, page 328 of the first volume, point number 61. Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, said, والإيمان بأن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين كلم أهل القليب يوم بدر أي المشركين كانوا يسمعون كلامه. He said, and to have iman that when Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke to those thrown into the abandoned well on the day of Badr, meaning the people of Shirk, that they heard his words. I mean, those dead unbelievers who had been killed at the battle of Badr, when the Prophet ﷺ stood over them and addressed them, that they heard his words. The Battle of Badr, the famous battle. Sheikh Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mu'ajizat, he has miracles. And a mu'ajiza, a miracle, is a matter which is extraordinary, outside what is normal. A miracle is that which is kharikun lil'ada, outside what normally happens, extraordinary. Sheikh said, and a person is not able to bring them about himself. Rather, they, miracles, they are things created by Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Then he quotes the ayah, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Ankabut, the 29th surah, ayah 50, for the explanation. And they said, the Quraysh, people of Shirk, they said, if only miraculous signs were to be sent down to him from his Lord. He's referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, if only miraculous signs were to be sent down to him from his Lord. Say, the miraculous signs are only with Allah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, they were demanding that he should himself bring miraculous signs from him to prove his messengership, as they said. But the ayat, the miraculous signs, are with Allah. The messenger does not bring any sign except from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Same part of the ayah from Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 50. The explanation, say, the signs are only with Allah. The Shaykh said, so he, meaning Allah the Most High, he is the one who manifests miracles. He the Perfect and Most High. And he causes them to happen at the hands of his messengers to attest to their truthfulness. And from that, or an example of that, is the dead person. If you speak to him, he will not hear you. And he will not know what you are saying. However, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he spoke to those who had been killed at Badr, from Quraysh. Those who used to harm him and harm the Muslims in Mecca, and who haughtily rejected true faith and disobeyed, and who tyrannized the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and expelled him, and who expelled his companions and harmed them. So Allah caused them to be overpowered at Badr, and they were killed. And their leaders and their eminent people were killed. Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, Sheikh gives a list of the names of the leaders of Quraysh who were killed at Badr. Shayba ibn Rabi'ah and Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, his brother. Shayba ibn Rabi'ah and Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. And Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. And a large number of the eminent ones of the Quraysh. They were killed at Badr. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered that they should be thrown into an old well, from the watering holes, the wells of Badr. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood over them and addressed them. O so-and-so, son of so-and-so. O Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. O Utbah. O Shaybah. O Umayyah. He addressed them one by one, saying, have you found what your Lord promised you to be true? For I have indeed found what my Lord promised me to be true. So then Umar said to him, O Messenger of Allah, how can you speak to them when they have started to decay and they cannot hear? So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَا أَنْتُمْ بِأَسْمَعَ لِمَا أَقُولُ مِنْهُمْ لَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يَنْطِقُونَ أَوْ لَا يَتْكَلَّمُونَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, you people cannot hear any better what I am saying than they can. However, they cannot speak, or they cannot talk. They can hear just as well as you can hear what I'm saying. Sheikh Razan said, this was a mu'jiza, this was a miracle, from the miracles of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which Allah caused to happen at his hands. In a footnote there, that's where Sheikh Razan ends the explanation of this point, with regard to the hadith of this incident, and the saying of Umar and the response of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the footnote they mentioned, this is reported by al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and you'll find it there as hadith number 3976. And reported by Muslim as hadith 2873, 2874, and 2875. And as a side point, the narration mentions that this happened 3 days after the battle. In one narration, it mentions that when the Prophet defeated a people or conquered a people, then he would remain at their place for 3 days. So in this report, he did likewise at Badr, he stayed there 3 days, and just before he was going to return, travel, and go back to Medina, on the third day, and he stood over the old well and said this thing. He spoke to them. He said, did you find what your Lord promised you to be true? Indeed, I found what my Lord promised me to be true. And to the end of the hadith. That's where Sheikh Razan ends explanation of that particular point. As for Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said, I say, the disagreement that there is amongst the people of knowledge about whether the people of the Barzakh, the people in the after death, the people in the period in between this life and the hereafter, those in the grave and the like, can they hear those people who speak to them, those people who address them? Can they hear? Or is that just specific to the people of that well at Badr? Is it general? Do we say that the Prophet spoke to those people in the well at Badr? So they could hear, but the rest of the dead can't hear. Or do we say, no, they can hear, just the rest of the dead can hear. So Sheikh said, is it particular to the people of the well, their hearing? He said, some of them extend this matter and claim that all the people in that life of the Barzakh, they can hear the speech that is said to them. And some of them, some of the people of knowledge, they restrict it to the place where the text is mentioned. And that is what is apparent from the established text. We only affirm that they hear where there is a text to say in that case, to the case, such as this case, the well at Badr, that they hear. He said, and as for the people of Sufism, then they extend this matter in a reprehensible manner to the extent that they claim that a dead person, he even knows what happens amongst his family, whether good or bad. And they claim that the dead can hear everything about their family. But what happens amongst them, good or bad, they know all about it. He said, and Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he reported in his book Ar-Ruh some reports from them, which are suspect. And Allah is the one who grants success. Likewise, on the same point, Sheikh Saleh al-Suhaimi, hafidhullah, he said on this same point, he mentioned that there are some people who say that the dead in general can hear. He said, however, upon verification from the sayings of the people of the Ahl Sunnah, what is correct is that we restrict ourselves in the matter of their hearing, in the dead hearing. We restrict ourselves to where there is a text. Because it is a matter of the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen. And matters of the hidden and the unseen, we do not add anything to them. We don't increase upon them, upon what occurs from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he mentioned, and what's established, there's two cases. There are two cases where it's established that the dead hear or heard. Firstly, what is mentioned here, that the people, the leaders of Shirk, the leaders of the Quraysh, who were killed at Badr, that they heard the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he addressed them. And secondly, the second place that's established is that the deceased, a person who's died and been buried, that he hears the footsteps of his family going away after they have buried him. And beyond that, we do not extend the matter any further. We don't affirm any more hearing for the dead besides those two cases. Rather, the rest of it falls under the general ayah that Sheikh mentioned, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِئٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ, Surah Fatir, the 35th Surah, Ayah 22, with the explanation, and you cannot cause those who are in the graves to hear. You cannot make those who are in the graves hear. Back to the main text then, with the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he moves on to another point, point number 62. He said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ الرَّجُلَ إِذَا مَرِضَ أَجَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَرَضِهِ. And point number 63, وَالشَّهِيدُ يَأْجُرُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى شَهَادَتِهِ. Imam al-Barbahari said, rahimahullah, and to have iman, that when a man becomes ill, Allah gives him reward for his illness, and Allah rewards the martyr for his martyrdom. Sheikh Fawzan, hafizahullah, said in explanation, he said, Allah does not allow the reward due to the believers to become lost, and he causes afflictions to strike the believers in order to purify them or to multiply their reward. So I mentioned those two reasons, that why Allah causes masa'ib, disasters or afflictions or calamities, why he strikes them, why he causes them to hit the believer, come upon the believer. He said, either to purify them or to multiply their reward, make it great, much greater. He said, so he may cause them to happen to the believer, calamities, he may cause them to happen to the believer to wipe away his sins and to purify him from sins. And it may be the case that he does not have sins. He doesn't have any sins left, but for other reasons. So it may be the case that he doesn't have any sins, but he still causes them to happen to him in order to raise his daraja, raise his ranks, raise his darajat, raise his ranks in the hereafter. Because Allah has written for him a high rank in paradise, which he cannot reach through his deeds. So therefore Allah tries him with afflictions, so that he multiplies the reward for him, so that he can reach this level. A level that Allah wrote for him, but his deeds fall short of it. Allah tries him with afflictions and trials, and then through that Allah causes him, his reward to increase and increase, till he reaches that level. Sheikh said, so the believer is upon good. Even when calamity strikes, he's upon good. And therefore he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ فَشَكَرَ كَانَ ذَلِكَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ فَصَبَرَ كَانَ ذَلِكَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how amazing is the matter of the believer. All of his matters are good for him. If something pleasing comes upon him, then he gives thanks, and that will be good for him. And if something harmful comes to him, and he has patience, he has sabr, then that will be good for him. And that will not be except for the believer, for the mu'min. In a footnote, they mention this hadith is reported by Muslim in his Sahih, as hadith 2999, from a hadith of Suhaib, radiallahu anhu. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so indeed the believer is struck by afflictions, and they are something beneficial for him. Masa'ib, trials, afflictions, calamities, hardship, difficulties. The believer is indeed struck, the believer is struck by afflictions, and they are something beneficial for him. For either Allah will wipe away his sins with them, or otherwise Allah will raise his rank on account of them. And the side point here, then, some of the people knowledge mention that meaning if a person, when he's struck by affliction, meaning if he has patience upon it, then he's rewarded. As for reward, meaning if he has patience upon that. As opposed to the case that if he doesn't have patience, he's vexed and shows his displeasure and the like, then that's something different. If he's struck by an affliction, then he has patience upon it. Wallahu a'lam. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan, Allah, he continued, with regard to the next point, point 63, with regard to the shaheed, the martyr. The saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, that وَالشَّهِيدُ يَأْجُرُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ شَهَادَتِهِ. And Allah rewards the martyr, the shaheed, for his martyrdom. Sheikh Fawzan said, the martyr, al-shaheed, he is the person who is killed upon the battlefield whilst fighting against the disbelievers. Fighting so that the word of Allah is uppermost. This person will be forgiven by Allah everything except for a debt, except for a deen, a debt which is upon him. Because a debt is a right of the people. He owes a debt to someone, it's the right of that person. And the right of a person will not fall away unless it is given to him or he pardons with regard to it. But as for the sins which are between the person and Allah, then Allah will forgive them all on account of the person being martyred in the cause of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And he said, and there are also other martyrs, there are also martyrs who are not martyrs killed upon the battlefield, such as a person who dies through the plague. He is a martyr, shaheed. And one who is killed defending his wealth, or his honour, or his family, then he is a shaheed, he is a martyr. Or the person who dies in an accident, an unexpected accident, such as a fire, or by drowning. He is a martyr with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Meaning, he will have the reward of a martyr. But he is not the same as the martyr who dies upon the battlefield with regard to rulings. Rather, he is washed. And one who falls in these categories, not one who dies on the battlefield, one who dies in the like of the accident, the fire, or through the plague, or the like, he's, as the chef said, he is not like, he has the reward of a martyr, but he is not the same as the martyr who dies upon the battlefield with regard to rulings. Rather, he is washed and shrouded, and a funeral prayer is said over him. As for the martyr who dies upon the battlefield, then he is not washed, and he is not shrouded in any clothes, except those he was killed in, and funeral prayer is not said over him, and he is prayed, or he is buried with his blood upon him. That's where Sheikh al-Fawzan ends explanation of that point. Before carrying on, they mention a footnote, when they mention that there are other martyrs besides the martyr who is killed upon the battlefield. Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned examples, such as the one who dies through plague, one who is killed defending his wealth or his honour or his family, or who dies in a sudden accident, like a fire or drowning. In a footnote they mention, Al-Bukhari reported in his Sahih, and you'll find it there as Hadith 653, and Muslim reports it also as Hadith 1914 from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the martyrs, the shuhada, the martyrs are five. The one who dies of the plague, and the one who dies of an abdominal complaint, and the one who drowns, and the one who has a house structure fall upon him, and the martyr who is killed fighting in Allah's cause. They mention in this footnote, and the wording here is that of Al-Bukhari. Then they say, and there also occurs from Jabir ibn Atiq, radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the martyrs are seven, besides the one who is killed in Allah's cause. The one who dies of the plague is a martyr, and the one who drowns is a martyr, and the person who dies from pleurisy is a martyr, and the person who dies of an abdominal complaint is a martyr, and the one who dies in a fire is a martyr, and the one who dies underneath a building falling is a martyr, and a woman who dies whilst pregnant is a martyr. They say about this hadith reported by Imam Malik in his Muwatta, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and by Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, and An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Hibban. As a side point, Sheikh al-Albani said with regard to this narration, it is sahih, authentic. And as a further side point, in addition to this footnote, then Imam an-Nawawi said, in his explanation of Muslim, he said, the scholars said, these types of death are shahada, are martyrdom, on account of Allah's bestowing favour. Allah the Most High bestowing favour. They're martyrdom because Allah the Most High bestows His favour upon them, because of their severity and how painful they can be. And there occurs in another hadith, in the Sahih, that whoever is killed defending his wealth, then he is a martyr. And whoever is killed defending his family, then he is a martyr. He said, and it's already been explained in the Book of Iman. And there occurs in another authentic hadith, whoever is killed defending his sword is a martyr. Imam an-Nawawi said, the scholars said, what is meant by the martyrdom of those people, all of them, besides the one who is killed fighting Allah's cause, is that in the hereafter they will receive the reward of the martyrs. But as for in this world, then they are to be washed and funeral prayer is said over them. And there has already preceded in the Book of Iman an explanation of that. And the fact that the martyrs are of three categories. He mentions them. Firstly, the martyr who is a martyr with regard to this world and the hereafter. And he is the one who is killed whilst fighting the disbelievers. And the second case he mentions is one who is a martyr in the hereafter, but not with regard to the rulings of this life. And they are the ones mentioned here, I mean, in the long two hadith that we just heard. Those who are treated as being a martyr in the hereafter. With regard to the rulings of this life, then we treat them as normal people who have died. Now, it's the third case, one who is apparently a martyr in this world, but not so in the hereafter. He is the person who steals something from the booty, or who is killed whilst running away, killed whilst fleeing. That's the end of the side point there from Imam an-Nawawi in his explanation. As for Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, again on a side point, in addition to the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi on this point, he said, Sheikh Ahmad said, with regard to the point that the martyr is rewarded for his martyrdom, and the sick person is rewarded for when he is sick, he said, I say, that occurs in authentic ahadith, which show that a Muslim who falls sick is rewarded for his during his illness. Because he knows that Allah is the one who caused him to become ill, and is the one who cures. And as for martyrdom, then it is a very high level, which Allah gives to whomever he wishes from his servants. However, it cannot be attained except through ikhlas, making one's deeds purely and sincerely for Allah, and through mutaba'ah, following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his example. So whoever is cured, fighting truly in Allah's cause, then he is a martyr, from the martyrs of this world and the hereafter. If he is killed between the disbelievers and the Muslims. The fighting is between the disbelievers and the Muslims. And likewise, one who is killed by the innovators, the Muqtadi'un, one who is killed by the innovators, such as the Khawarij and their like. And that occurs in a hadith with regard to the Khawarij, ثُوبَى لِمَنْ قَتَلَهُمْ وَقَتَلُوهُمْ. Glad tidings of a tree in paradise are for those who fight them and they kill him. And they mentioned the hadith which has been reported by Abu Dawud and others. Then the Sheikh finishes by saying, as for the martyrs with regard to the hereafter, then they are many. And from the martyrs of the hereafter are the one who dies through the plague, through a stomach complaint, in a fire, being drowned, and a building falling upon him, and so on. He mentions further cases. As for the next point, we'll take as the last point today, inshallah, point number 64, then Imam al-Barwahari, rahmahullah, he said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ الْأَطْفَالَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمْ شَيْءٌ فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ بَكْرَ ابْنَ أُخْتِي عَبْدِ الْوَاحِدِ قَالْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَكَذَبَ. He said, and to have iman, that when children are afflicted by anything in the life of this world, then they feel pain. And that is mentioned because Bakr ibn Ukht Abdul Wahid said, they do not feel pain. And he lied. In a footnote here, before mentioning the explanation, in a footnote here, they bring a biography of this person who's mentioned here, Bakr ibn Ukht Abdul Wahid. They say, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said, in Lisan al-Mizan, Bakr ibn Ukht Abdul Wahid ibn Zayd al-Basri al-Zahid. So all this is a quote from Ibn Hajar, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. Said Az-Zahid, he was mentioned by Ibn Hazm in Al-Milal wa Nihal as being amongst the Khawarij, one of the Khawarij, that he said, with regard to every sin, even a small sin, even a slight lie which a person told as a joke, that the person who does it is a kafir, a disbeliever, a mushrik, one who associates partners with Allah, from the people of the hellfire. This was the saying of this person. Except, he made an exception, except for the people who fought at Badr. And he will be, if he falls into that, he will be a kafir, a mushrik, but be from the people of paradise. He said, evil, nonsense saying. Continued, quoting what this person says, and his student, Abdullah ibn Isa, used to say, the insane person and the children and the animals never ever feel any pain on account of any ailment or anything else. Because, he gives his reason, because Allah never oppresses anything, even by the extent of the tiniest ant. He said, Ibn Qutaybah quoted this matter of pain from Bakr himself, from the teacher here, Bakr himself. And from his foul sayings is that whoever steals anything, even the amount of a mustard seed, that he will remain in the hellfire forever, along with the disbelievers. And Ibn Qutaybah refuted this at length. And the end of the quote with regard to who this person is, this Bakr ibn Ukht Abdul Wahid. So with regard to the explanation here, Sheikh Farzan said, explain this point. Of Iman, that when children are afflicted by anything in the life of this world, then they feel pain. And this is mentioned because Bakr ibn Ukht Abdul Wahid said they do not feel pain. And he lied. Sheikh Farzan said, this matter is mentioned on account of those who say that children do not feel any pain. And he mentioned this to refute this man. And this man, it is said that he was from the Khawarij also. And the Khawarij have even more surprising things than these worthless sayings. On account of their ignorance and on account of their pretense to knowledge. And therefore, the Sheikh said, when a child suffers something, he screams and he cries and he calls out for help. And this is a proof that he indeed feels pain. And this is something witnessed and felt. However, this man has strange sayings, and from them is this issue. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.